Money and politics, Pat DiNizio's birthday. This podcast is going to be a moral victory. That doesn't mean it's a victory, but it's a moral victory.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 23rd, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Let's jump right in, shall we? You know, I talk about Pat DiNizio, and there's a reason I do, but apparently we have a reader who commented and thought they knew why I mentioned Pat DiNizio every year.
Right. Comics Boy says DiNizio's politics, longtime anti-Clinton, etc., are probably a big part of why Stantis keeps paying homage to him.
Is Pat anti-Clinton?
I have no idea. I didn't even bother looking it up.
I did not know this. here's the reason. Comics, what was it, Comics?
Comics Boy.
Comics Boy and everybody else is Pat DiNizio. This is a long story, so get comfortable, everyone. I'll try and keep it short. Janine and I were watching Bands Reunited on VH1, which is a show where exactly what they sound like. They get these old bands, especially 80s bands, and reunite them. And so after we kind of got hooked on the show, and after one episode, we were talking, what bands would you like to see get back together? And virtually everyone we mentioned was still together. We just didn't know it. They were, you know, performing at county fairs and stuff, but they were still active. And one for me was the Smithereens. I love their music, and I have a couple of songs that I just adore. Blood and Roses is one of my favorite songs of all time. And Pat DiNizio had a solo site, and we went to that, and he said Living Room Concerts. And that piqued our interest.
Yes.
And so we said, well, let's check that out. And it turns out he came, and he would exactly what it sounds like. He'd come and play in your living room, which was awesome. So I was launching Prickly City, and he came, and we had like, I invited way too many people.
Yes.
It was about 250, 300 people were at her house. And Pat DiNizio performed for about 2.5 hours. It was awesome. I mean, he was just great. He stuck around afterwards. And I mean, just a nice, wonderful guy. Ended up being sort of friends with him. And, friends. Ended up illustrating the cover of his book. Anyway, so every year I just mention him, his birthday in the strip. He just turned 60. I always forget because, you know, I work weeks ahead when his birthday is. So the last two or three times, it's always been this storyline, too, where Winslow has forgotten Pat DiNizio's name. So I didn't know that Pat DiNizio was an anti-Clinton person. I had no idea.
I like him either.
We like him for the very reason I just mentioned, because he played at the launch party. And I like his music a lot. And his solo stuff is terrific, too, by the way. You should do yourself a favor and pick some up. So there's that. So, and then it goes on to talk about money and politics. Carmen is considering a run for public office. Winslow's asking where you got to raise money. And her point is that money isn't everything in politics. And this may fall into the whole Scott's really naive line of thinking, because my thoughts are money's important. Money obviously gets your name out there. You can advertise and all that stuff. But if money is the main purpose or the main reason you win, then we'd have President Jeb Bush today, because he came into the primary with a bazillion dollars and he did not obviously win because it was low energy Jeb, right? Did people comment on that? Am I wrong?
They had several comments. Okay. Wagner in Atlanta says, in this era, if you can't raise some money, it's because nobody has heard of you or because nobody agrees with you. Neither is a qualification for president. And Cheapskate Zero responds, and if you can raise money, you are now beholden to them who gave you the money, which should also be a disqualification for office. Your choice, raise a lot of money or have a lot of money to begin with. The latter is how we ended up with Stantis's skunk, to which I like this guy's handle, pulpit-pounding political pundit, says, Hillary spent a lot more moolah than Trump. And Robert Morrison says, he said you need a lot of money to run. He didn't say it would guarantee a win.
Well, and that's the point, is that does it guarantee a win? It doesn't. I mean, now I'm going to go into the tall weeds and talk history. 1980, John Connally, former governor of Texas, ran for president and was considered the front runner because he had, $10 million in his campaign funds, which in hindsight's kind of quaint because now they spend $1 billion each, which was, of course, what they spent in 2012 and 2016. Does money guarantee a win? It doesn't. It's important, and it's just become too important. Can we have a rational discussion about campaign finance reform? Is there one?
No.
Okay.
A lot of people brought it. I didn't write down all these comments because there were so many and they were kind of like, but, you know, obviously all the people who were Democrat complained about, and I always forget how to pronounce the names, Koch brothers?
Yeah, the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers. And then, of course, the Republican supporters would come back with Saros and other names. So they're all, of course, blame each other. Well, but it seems like you do have to have a lot of money to even get into the race.
You do. I mean, think about this. You run for Congress, the average congressman or woman who gets elected, from the moment they get elected up to the following 2 years, has to raise roughly $10,000 a week to have a reasonable campaign war chest.
Which seems, if you want to do something for people, can't you use that money to actually fund the schools?
Ah, pshaw.
Pay people's medical bills. It just seems like you could actually do good stuff with it instead of running for office.
Yeah, no, it's gotten to be very expensive. And you know, is there, I wish, and here, I'll put this out there. And if you want to email us at pricklycity@gmail.com, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Because as far as campaign finance reform that cuts constitutional muster, I'd like to hear a plan because, you know, the Citizens United, I'm one of the few Republicans who thinks that was wrong, that the Citizens United said that money is speech. You know, clearly it's corrupted our system.
Well, it also gives more speech to people,
yeah, I mean,
with money.
You're saying that Bill Gates has more speech than me.
Right.
I know you're surprised by that. That's sweet, sweet cartoon money does not quite reach Bill Gates' level, but it's absolutely true. So, like I said, I would challenge you, anyone who listens to this podcast, if you would please, if you have an idea or ideas, go ahead and kick them my way. We were in Australia many years ago, and there happened to be a state race going on. And the people there were explaining to me that this is onerous. This is overreach in my view. But the state funds all the candidates who are running, all the candidates who have qualified. And by the way, you can, a lot of them do, which is awesome. Because you can have a discussion about everything and have 10 different points of view. But the state sponsors all the campaigns. They do all the printing for the posters. There are no ads on radio or television that the candidates have many debates. And that's how they run their elections. And there's a part of me that thinks, God, that would be so nice. The other part of that is that you're actually fined if you don't vote.
Right.
Which I like a lot. And the fines go up if you don't vote in a municipal election. It's, you know, $10. If you don't vote in a federal election, it's $100. And so that means they have a 98% voter turnout.
But there are a lot of people who would prefer some people don't vote.
Oh, well, I don't think
both sides.
Yeah, there's no question about that. No question about that. So the people who scream about campaign finance reform are almost always the ones who are out of power. So the Democrats are screaming about it now. The Republicans screamed about it prior to that, before their ascension to control
like
the House and Senate.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's only bad when the other people are doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. So what other comments? Any other comments we want to get to?
Well, people were talking about, you know, you had mentioned Carmen's wondering about running for office and what she should run as. And Fuzzbucket says, run as a fiscal conservative, Carmen, not as a Republican. Both major parties have let the screaming radicals take over, and entirely too many people are followers who let others do their thinking for them. Then the twits scream the thoughts they've been fed, and the cycle continues.
That's a great. Who is that?
Fuzzbucket.
Fuzzbucket. If you, Fuzzbucket, thanks. And to tell you the truth, that's a great way to go with this storyline. Is she's just going to run as a traditional Republican, which of course is going to get her called Rhino, and she's going to have a social conservative run against her because, you know, she doesn't think everyone should be banned. Thank you. That's great. That's a great. It's wonderful. Hey, look, I'm glad that's going to be the following week.
Well, there you go.
There it is. And is that it? We can say that's it this week.
I guess the other, what else did you mention in there about normal, about things are normal or not normal?
Well, the new normal, what the new normal is and how it's all topsy-turvy and heebie-jeebly and all sorts of stuff like that. And someone commented on the Sunday.
I guess in the comment, they mentioned that things go on.
We'll finish on this.
Kevin 78661 says, yes, things go on. 50% of the population is always unhappy, but we live through it.
Somehow, some way, we will all live through that, and we lived through this podcast.
We did.
Maybe. Listen, if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you certainly can by going to gocomics.com/pricklycity or go to scottstantis.com. Leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. If you want to talk to us directly, again, you're more than welcome to, and I really do want to hear your thoughts on campaign finance reform. Email us at pricklycity@gmail.com. I want to thank Janine, of course, for being here again. Yay! our producer, Brian Altheimer, and you have to check out his podcast, The Sean Green Show. So do it if you love America. If you don't, then the terrorists win. It's that simple.
We don't want that.
We don't want that because we don't want that. Anyway, yeah, so The Sean Green Show podcast. And thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for posting all this. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.